Hey, is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yep, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
Whoa, I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Get our best deals on iPhone 15 Pro at T-Mobile.com. One-year upgrade requires Go 5G Next plan, financing new qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I'm back. I made it into the studio. I left my puppy behind. It was hard to do. It was really hard to do, actually, to leave the house and try not to worry about Penny and what happens when I'm gone. But I did it. I pried myself away and made it into the studio. And I left her sleeping on the bathroom floor. So hopefully she's all right. For those of you who were listening to the show last night, you may know that I had to work from home. I had to wait for a couple packages, one of medicine and one of a collar that Penny had to wear for the first time on Tuesday. That poor dog, she was not feeling it. She did not understand the giant inflatable donut around her neck. If you haven't seen the photo, it's on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I haven't put it up on Facebook, but maybe producer Jay will help me to do that. Poor thing. She did this with the Thunder shirt that I made her wear when she was much younger. She would just stand there and not move because she couldn't figure out what she was wearing or what this thing was wrapped around her body. And here, I'll even retweet the photo. I put the large, and it's large. It's bigger than her head, but it has to be large because she's a large dog. Anyway, I put this large donut around her neck in the afternoon because she wanted to be up and around and started fiddling and flipping out about her hotspot. And so I had to put this collar around her neck and she just sat on the floor and stared straight ahead. She did not know what else to do because it's hard to put your head down on the floor when you've got this inflatable donut.
Comfortable.
It was not a good afternoon for Penny. But the good news is she finally caught up on her sleep and she spent a good portion of the afternoon and the evening snoring away. And the natural spray that arrived via delivery at 5 o'clock in the morning on my doorstep when I was hosting the show, it was a little creepy to have a delivery man outside my door in the middle of the night. Anyway, it seems to help. It seemed to provide Penny some relief. So if you're worried about Penny, and many of you did send me tweets and messages about the Penster, you can find her sad photo on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and producer Jay will share it on our Facebook page. Yeah, poor thing. She just stared straight ahead. All she wanted was for me to take that thing off. So I finally did. We went out for a walk. When I was awake, I didn't make her wear the donut. But when I was trying to sleep and then leaving the house, a little bit nervous about her going after the spot that's irritated. But we'll be at the vet on Wednesday afternoon, and hopefully that will be the end of said hotspot. Poor, miserable Penny. She must think that her mom has become cruel. Instead, don't you ever wonder what your animals are thinking when you have to put a cone around their head or you have to, I don't know. You have to deprive them of food and water because they have a medical procedure, and they look at you with those big eyes, and they look so sad and miserable, but you know what you're doing is for their benefit, but you can't explain it to them.
You feel like a villain.
I do. I feel like a bad dog mom, actually.
Even though it's you're being the best possible dog mom you could possibly be.
For instance, she gets shots twice a day. I don't think she loves them. Thankfully, she gets a treat afterwards, so there's that. But she doesn't enjoy the shots. Mostly, she stands there and takes them, but every now and then she flinches a little bit, so I know I've kind of hit a sore spot or a nerve. But she doesn't love the shots, and I don't enjoy giving them to her because I worry about hurting her, but, you know, she... She gets a treat after, I guess. Anyway, I wish I could explain to her what's happening. They're pretty smart animals, and so I think she gets that after she has the shot, A, she gets a treat, and B, she feels better. But there's no really deciphering what's going on in my dog's brain, so I'm not exactly sure. Just know that it was a tough couple days for the pencil, as my mom's husband calls her, pencil. I have many nicknames for the dog. Penelope. That's not her name. Pencil. Penny. Bubba. And then from Bubba, I call her B. Don't ask me why. Her name is not start with a B, but it's short for Bubba.
I feel like of all the dogs I've ever had in my whole life, I call them by like their actual name that we name them like so rarely. It's always like a different day, just whatever I'm feeling or just looking at them, thinking something.
I call a girlfriend, baby butt. All kinds of things. I might have 15 nicknames for the dog. And I'm pretty sure, even though there are some people in the neighborhood that know her actual name, there are also some people in the neighborhood who think that her name is Bubba. Because I call her that a lot. Oh, you guys are fun. I know many of you are also dog and cat and pet owners, so you understand. It was a necessity, not one that I appreciated. I don't love working from home, and it's like a fish out of water, speaking of pets. I felt like a fish out of water. But we survived, Penny and I, and I think now we're going to get back to normal here. So you all sent me photos of your pets, and you commiserated with poor Penny in her inflatable donut. And well, a couple of you yelled at me. That's always fun too when Twitter tries to tell you why you're a terrible dog owner. But whatevs, Penny and I are good. We've been fast friends. Well, she's been my girl going back now to early 2012. My goodness, it's been 11 and a half years of Penny running my life, and she's a month away from 14. So I'll consider that a success. We're a success, and pretty soon we're going to be a blended dog family. We're going to have another dog in the house, so Penny, you better get ready. I don't even know how it's going to go. We'll take it one day at a time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on The Hump Show here, CBS Sports Radio, middle show of the work week. We do have some playoff baseball to get to. What did I tell you about the Phillies being loud? Everything about the Phillies and their fans and their park and their bats and their celebrations, it's all loud. And they love the fastballs, by the way. Please go ahead and continue to throw them fastballs. They're good with that. Not Nick Castellanos in game two of the NLCS, but Kyle Schwarber, who goes deep twice. It doesn't matter who it is, though, and I appreciate that. These guys have the chemistry that eludes any real definition. It's the type of chemistry that, yes, is a product of winning, but you have to have this kind of chemistry to be a winner. So we could use the old cliche, which comes first, chicken or the egg. They both are necessary for a winner. And chemistry isn't all we like each other, but it does mean that you want to perform at the highest level. You go out there and you play to the best of your ability, because you care more about just yourself and your own individual success. As human beings, when we have relationships that matter to us, very often that's the motivation. Whether we're talking about marriages or parents with their kids or friendships or, in this case, teammates. It's a neat thing about humans. When we care about someone else, when we care about, in this case, an entire team of people, of our teammates, well, we want to go out there and do well for them. And when it becomes more about just us as individuals, there is an extra level of effort and energy and dedication and devotion. And you can see that with these Phillies. They're not just out there going through the at-bats and pitching and defense and all that jazz for their own benefit. Nah, they care just as much about the guy on the left and the guy on the right, and in some cases probably care more. That's where the chemistry comes from. That's where relationships make such a huge difference. Because then it's called synergy in business, but synergy means that the sum is greater than the individual parts. And these Phillies have it. I think it's born through adversity as well. Adversity and challenges often reveal what's on the inside. Whether there's character and leadership, whether there's perseverance, whether there's faith, whether you can remain hopeful. And again, how do you encourage and support the people around you? So oftentimes losing an adversity exposes weaknesses in a locker room or a clubhouse. But in the case of the Phillies, everything they've been through over the past couple years has made them stronger. It's kind of a funky cliche and you hear it a lot, but there is some truth to it. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And it works not only for individuals, but it also works for teams. Think about the Trey Turner situation earlier in the year when Trey was scuffling offensively. I mean, he brings the defense and he can be a veteran teammate, but his offensive numbers were abysmal. No doubt it was weighing on him, right? No doubt he was feeling like he wasn't worthy of the contract the Phillies gave him. And instead of waiting until Trey Turner produced to let him know how much he was appreciated, the fans, his teammates, they brought out the best in Trey Turner. They took the pressure off Trey by letting him know how much they cared about him and how much they appreciated him before he started hitting. Again, sign of great relationships. We don't love you just because, and a lot of fans would say this, right? It's easier to love a team when they're winning. But inside that clubhouse, we aren't just glad you're here because you're hitting 400. We're not just glad you're here because you make us a better offense. Though that did eventually happen. We're glad you're here because you're Trey Turner. And because we recognize intangibles, not to mention what else you do to make us a better team. Corporate synergy / chemistry. The Phillies have it. And it's always on display because everything they do is on display. It is loud. Phillies fans, you should be proud of yourselves. I am impressed. 2 Octobers in a row and I am impressed. Again, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As for the Diamondbacks, we've seen that corporate synergy / teamwork and chemistry with them too, but eventually something's got to give. It seems pretty obvious to me when I watch the Phillies that the confidence and the comfortability being uncomfortable, they're good. They don't mind when the challenge is tougher. They don't mind because of what they've been through the last couple years. They don't mind if it's a mountain they have to climb. They're good with that. They've spent so much time being on the edge. They spent so much time facing elimination. They spent so much time having to fight scratch claw to get into the playoffs. What, to get out of a hole last year when they changed managers, then to get into the playoffs. They've battled through injuries, of course. They've stared down Goliath in the Atlanta Braves more than once. I mean, these Phillies are comfortable being uncomfortable. In fact, I think they relish the pressure. That is absolutely the case for Bryce Harper. He wants you to doubt him. He wants to prove to you that you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, he likes it. And the team takes a lot of its cue from Bryce and his tune, his boldness.
I stared right at him.
The fact that he carries a giant chip on his shoulder, right? It's not just him. You see it with the other guys, too. I love Nick Castellanos and his attitude and his approach as well. It's easy to look at the Phillies and say, well, of course they're winning. They're high-priced free agents, high-priced superstars. They're producing. Yeah, Bryce Harper, Trey Turner, Nick Castellanos, Kyle Schwarber. Although that's more recent for Kyle, right? These guys are paid to do what they're doing. But it's more than that. There's always more to it than the numbers. Though the numbers are fairly gaudy. Especially with those Phillies bats. I don't know if we'll see them sweep the Diamondbacks. Arizona has a pretty healthy and engaged fan base too. And they're so excited to have their team playing in games in October. We saw that against the Dodgers when the series, the NLDS, shifted to Phoenix. And what an atmosphere. But it felt like in Philadelphia, and it feels like in Philadelphia, where the Phillies do have a pretty sizable and decided advantage, that it was just a matter of time. Just wash, rinse, repeat for these Phillies.
0-1 the count, and Kelly delivers in the pitch. Swung on, hit deep, left center field, and that one's going to go, and Trey Turner gives the Phillies a 1-0 lead. Third home run of the postseason for Trey Turner.
This place is crazy.
1-0. And he swings and lines one deep to right. This one's got a chance. Carroll turns, and he looks up, and it's gone. It does clear over the out-of-town scoreboard. A low line drive for Kyle Schwarber, and it's 2-0 Phillies.
With the calls on Phillies radio, that was just the beginning. But, yeah, when I saw it, of course, my response was, oh, yeah, again, this is what they do. And I saw this stat that I wanted to pass along. Sarah Langs, it's her Twitter account. She works for MLB. And she puts out a lot of stats after the games are done. The Phillies, in their lifetime, are 28-11 in the postseason at Citizens Bank Park. That win percentage, which is just shy of 72%, that win percentage is the best record in the postseason for any team in any park. Minimum of 20 games. So you have a sample size of at least 20 games. Better than the Cardinals at Busch Stadium. Better than the Mets at the old Shea Stadium. 28-11 in the postseason at the bank. It's magical. It's electric. You may not believe that home field advantage is a true advantage. It's more of an idea, a concept. And yet for the Phillies, they've turned it into an advantage. And again, the fans deserve some credit. Philadelphia sports fans, they get a bad rap. They're intense. They're engaged. They are vocal. What did I tell you about the Phillies and the franchise just being loud? But doesn't it feel like the team reflects the fan base? And they feed off each other. These Phillies and the fans. The players themselves don't ever miss an opportunity to talk about the fans and how much it means to play at home. And it is definitely an advantage. 28-11 all time in the playoffs at Citizens Bank Park. Best record in the postseason for any team in any park. Well, and it helps that they hit the snot out of the ball in their own ballpark. So they go up 2-0, then blow open the game in the 6th and the 7th, 4 runs in each of those innings, 10 runs on 11 hits. And once again, the pitchers, the starting pitchers, dynamic. Also, so obvious how much last year's experience helped everybody with the Phillies organization. They're prepared. I'm a nerd when it comes to preparation. People ask me sometimes, you know, what's your preparation like for the show? When it comes to live radio, it's a living thing. It takes on a life of its own sometimes. You can't always prepare. And sometimes there's breaking news. Sometimes things go wrong. But the way that I feel comfortable with live radio and whatever might come along is that I can control what I am in charge of. And that's my preparation and making sure that I limit the variables, at least, again, what I can control. And the Phillies, they're prepared. They're prepared for this run because of what happened last year. It's impressive to watch. They're up 2-0 in the NLCS. The Rangers are up 2-0 in the ALCS. And I don't know, are we going to get any winner-take-all games in this postseason? I'm not saying it can't happen, because of course it can. Phillies just protected their home field advantage. Although the Astros, they biffed theirs. But we have not yet had a Game 3, a Game 5, and it looks bleak for Game 7s in these championship series. Rut-row, let's go D-backs. I might start pumping up the D-backs and the Astros just because I want some winner-take-all games. It's not looking positive. It's not looking optimistic. I'm not feeling optimistic. It is our hump show, which means you can ask Amy anything. So send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Look for the bright orange box. Also on our Facebook page. A little bit later on the show, Cynthia Freeland. I don't know why it's been so long since we've had her on the show, but we've missed her. We're going to rectify that situation from NFL Network. Crunching numbers, if you will. But she makes analytics cool. If you haven't yet voted for TD of the Week, that poll is still ongoing for a couple more hours. We'll let you hear those candidates straight ahead. Micah Parsons, I'm telling you, his podcast is my new favorite. It almost makes the other podcast boring. He's got a message for critics of the Cowboys.
Laugh now, cry later.
And also, we kind of came up with a fun question that we think you'll enjoy on this edition of the show in light of a wacky injury for a college football coach. All that's ahead. Thanks for hanging out with us. Middle show of the work week. We're ushering you over the hump and toward the weekend, closer to the weekend.
Ow! Ow!
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Swung on, hit in the air, right center field. That one is walloped. It is gone! Into the Phillies bullpen. Second home run of the night for Kyle Schwarber. It's another solo shot. And the Phillies are on top 3-0.
Three balls, two strikes. The pitch.
Swing and a line drive out toward left center field. That's going to split the gap, and it's going to go to the State Farm side. Two runs will score as Turner crosses the plate with Bryson Stott about 5 feet behind him. On to second base with a stand-up two-run double as JT. And the Phillies have busted this game open. Swung on line. Inside the third base bag. Down the left field line. Off the half wall. Real Muto will score easily. Going to second is Marsh. To third, Castellanos. It's an RBI double. And Brandon Marsh rips off his helmet and tells the crowd to get on their feet. And they don't need anybody to tell them that right now. It's 6-0 Phillies.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
It happens fast, and you don't know what hits you. At some point, you're going to have to face not just the top three, not the middle of the order, but you're going to have to go through this Phillies buzzsaw, because every single one of those guys can hurt opposing pitchers, and it's contagious. Their enthusiasm, their energy, their hitting. It's contagious. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Tom McCarthy, Scott Frensky on Phillies Radio. 10 runs on 11 hits that finally chase the starter for the Diamondbacks. Merrill Kelly was on the mound into the sixth inning. So he survived the three solo home runs, but then into the sixth inning, finally out of there. Aaron Nola ends up going six innings scoreless, striking out seven. It really is a 1-2 punch for the Phillies, because they're not just getting the hits. They're also getting the starting pitching that protects their bullpen and allows their bullpen to remain relatively fresh. I know it's October and these guys have gone through a long season, but they're not asking extraordinary innings or effort from their bullpen, which also helps then the back end and the hitters take some of the pressure off them. I mean, it really does work in concert. So Aaron Nola and JT Realmuto, that was your battery tonight, and JT's busy on the base paths as well. They were able to shut out the Diamondbacks, and Torrey Lovello, he's not thrilled, not happy. And even if you know what the Phillies are all about, I can imagine you don't expect it'll happen to you.
Everybody's talking about coming into this environment, and I don't care. Like, we got to play better baseball. Everybody's got to be better. You start with the manager, and then trickle all the way down through the entire team. We got to play Diamondback baseball. What we watched out there was not anything that we have done for a long period of time. Diamondback baseball is grinding out at-bats, having mature at-bats, driving up pitch counts, catching pop-ups, picking up the baseball. The pitching and defense goes hand in hand, and we find a way to score five runs or more and win a baseball game.
This is not Diamondback baseball, and he gives you the formula for Diamondback baseball. The only thing that they can do now as the series moves to Phoenix is just block this out. But athletes are good at that. They have to be, right? They have to be able to, especially with a 162-game season, they have to be able to flush it, so to speak, and just leave it behind. And there's nothing you can do now. You give up 10 runs. You think they were 0-for-3 with runners in scoring position, which just indicates how few opportunities they had. Meanwhile, the home runs. So maybe don't throw fastballs right down the pike anymore, because they're clearly jumping on them. But we've seen the Phillies in this groove now for, oh gosh, even before the playoffs began, they've started hitting really well, even going back to September, late August.
I mean, we got a really good lineup, and it's a long lineup, and we're swinging the bats really well right now. I thought Merrill Kelly did a really nice job, and we finally got to him in the sixth. You know, we hit a couple of solo home runs, but, you know, he kept us off balance for the most part up until the sixth, and then we started to string some hits together and put up some crooked numbers.
Very crooked. Very crooked numbers. But to a man, you'll hear these guys talk about how much they're enjoying it, how much they care about their teammates, obviously the fans. Unity It's not something you hear as much in sports anymore. More branded as chemistry, and just think it's kind of cool that these guys do, they're showing off that unity and that chemistry, and it makes them a better team, which again, not every team finds that. Even if it is a winning team, it kind of gives you an edge and makes you better if you have that component.
We want to do this for the city, but when you have a bond like we all have in that clubhouse, it's so tight. And, you know, that's all you're thinking about inside is just trying to do it for these guys. And, you know, that's what we all think about each other.
That's cool. It really is. If you ever played on a team, as I say, not every team is like that. I remember teams that I played on where we really didn't like each other that much. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to hang out together all the time. It just means you care. Again, and because you care, it means you want to perform not just for yourself and for your own individual goals, but also for the guys around you. We care as human beings. We're made for relationship. And so when we have good relationships in our lives, they generally can spur us on to be better people. That's pretty standard human practice. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We also are pretty emotional as humans. We get a little nutso when it comes to our sports. Did you hear? Well, not that this is it's not one of those narratives in sports that is unique or new, but it always makes me laugh a little bit that as fans, yes, we can get carried away, but coaches and players sometimes can get so emotional and have outbursts and can get carried away. And so to hear a coach like Shane Beamer of South Carolina just admitting that he had an outburst that created an injury, well, I had to giggle a little bit.
Broke my foot on Saturday, so I'd rather just get it out there and say it and not have y'all speculating. And then after the game on Saturday in Missouri, you ask. I called Coach Tanner, told him, make sure he was okay with it, and he died laughing when I told him. So obviously there's not a lot of empathy from him. It was after the game, and certainly that was a gut-wrenching, emotional loss, and I was frustrated and kicked something that I shouldn't have kicked and thought I was okay, but adrenaline of the game wore off. And before anybody starts the narrative, like the head football coach is frustrated and lost his poise and all that, no, I care. And I care about these kids, and I was really upset on Saturday night because I didn't do enough to help them get over the hump and win the football game. So don't think I have to have surgery, but there is a broken bone in my foot. It hurts like you know what, but, you know, I've got to show toughness and fight through it.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not laughing because he has a broken foot. I'm just laughing because even inside the sport, humans are not immune to adrenaline and anger and frustration and just got to take it out on whatever it is that he kicked. So now he has a broken foot, Shane Beamer. So for this edition of the show, this hump show, what is the either craziest slash funniest injury that you can remember with a coach or an athlete? And athletes very often, they, I think my favorite one might be Brian Griese. Remember Brian Griese who he liked his alcohol and he was hosting a party at his house. This is back when he was the quarterback of the Broncos. Mm-hmm. And he was hosting a party at his house and he was not sober, and he tripped and fell over something in his driveway backward and injured himself and couldn't play. I don't remember exactly what the injury was. Yeah. So whether it's a coach or an athlete like Shane Beamer, who's kicked something and now has a broken foot, or if you all have a story that you're willing to share about some ridiculous injury that you incurred, maybe because you punched something or kicked something out of anger. It doesn't even have to be sports, but yeah, I've never broken anything. I've never broken a bone, so this doesn't really apply to me, but I do appreciate that people sometimes need to punch something or kick something.
I'll say that. I'll give you a couple athletes one, and I'll give you something personal, and I'll do them all quick. The two athlete ones that always make me laugh, Ricky Henderson going on the injured list with frostbite in August because he fell asleep with the ice pack on his foot is still hilarious to me. The other one is Glenn Allen Hill. crashed through a glass like table in his living room because he was having a nightmare about spiders and was sleepwalking. And like crashed through the
glass. I do not remember that.
I mean, these are old. Glenn Allen Hill hasn't been in baseball in 25 years.
Oh,
hilarious
okay.
to me. Personally, the
That's
only
scary.
Thing that I ever did. Now, luckily, I didn't get hurt. I don't know how I didn't get hurt because I'm just stupid. But I did once in high school. Was so mad with a game and an at bat that I had that it was bothering me. And so I had to go back to my locker to get something. And it was a night game, and no one was there. It was, you know, the halls are empty. And I first thing I saw was the first locker I saw, and I cracked it as hard as I could. And you know how they have the slits on the top of the locker?
Uh-huh.
I hit it, luckily, right underneath that, and it actually slit, like, down straight. And they were going across. This one was, you know, vertical down. I actually cracked the locker a little bit, and luckily I didn't break my hand.
Oh
how I didn't break my hand,
gosh.
I have no idea. If I was 3 inches up, I would have sliced it open.
The power of one Marco
Well,
Belletti.
Let's not get nuts. I was so angry, but so out of my mind. Stupid.
Yes.
Because, really, the only two things that could have happened was I could have cut myself or I could have broke the hand.
Right.
And luckily, I didn't do either. I don't know how I didn't do either, but luckily, I didn't do either. It almost like sobered me up, though, because 5 minutes later,
yes.
when I actually got to the locker and whatever I needed to get, I was thinking to myself, I was like, wow, that was really stupid. That's when it like hit me a few minutes later.
So we're not looking for injuries that came from actual play, field, court, ice. We're looking for injuries for athletes who they were mad, they were emotional, they did something stupid, those types of injuries. The ones that you remember because they had to admit it sheepishly and they're a bit ashamed. Or maybe it's an injury you yourself incurred while you were doing something stupid or foolish and you now regret that you're willing to share. So you can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, and then also on our Facebook page. I mean, I've injured myself just because I'm a klutz before, but I've never, in anger, hit something, kicked something. I've thrown things before and was like, oh, whoopsie. But I've not ever hurt myself doing something like that.
I've hit more things than I'm willing to admit.
I can imagine.
I've never actually broken anything doing it.
Interesting.
Miracle.
Ooh,
complete miracle.
Marco Belletti's got a red hot temper in there.
I've mellowed with age. I had a bit of an anger issue when I was younger.
Oh, okay. I'm glad that you can talk about it and fess up now. That's good.
That's not a problem. I still, looking back, punching walls, like really the dumbest thing you could do. How I
yes.
never broke my hand
yes.
is a miracle. Obviously, I had bruises and... You know, there's times where I had like wrap on my hand that people were looking at and they were like, what happened to you? No, nothing. Yeah, like dumb, but never broken. I don't know how. I have no idea how.
All right, so Jay's put a post up on our show Twitter and he'll put it up on Facebook as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the power line. Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Touchdown!
Hey, the guy missed. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown!
Southern Salting into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Detroit Lions.
Lions send two receivers right, two left. Goff works out of the gun on 3rd and 13 from the Tampa Bay 27. Play clock at 4. Goff's got it. Back, looking, throws, middle, complete. Amon-Ra at the 20. Cutting across, looking for a block. Gets one inside the 15. A big block to the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, baby. You want to talk about teamwork. Amon-Ra with a catch. Craig Reynolds with a big block to help Springham, and the Lions find the end zone.
The New York Jets.
First and goal at the 8. Breece Hall, the I-back. Hand off Hall up the middle. They're going to let him score, and he's into the end zone for a Jet touchdown. The Eagles let the Jets score. Rather than letting the clock wind all the way down, and Breece Hall took it into the end zone for a Jet touchdown, 1:46 to go. The Jets now have a 4-point lead.
the Miami Dolphins.
Third down and six for Miami at the two-minute mark of the second quarter. Back to throw Tua, looking, fires deep down the right side. He's got Tyreek. Touchdown, Miami. Tyreek Hill from Tua Tagovailoa.
Jimmy looked it off, came right back, so no help with the safety. Throws it down the sideline. Separation again, and you got another touchdown.
The Minnesota Vikings.
Play action out of the shotgun. Harrison Phillips trying to give him his fumble. First sack. Josh Metellus forced a fumble. It's bouncing about. Picked up by Jordan Hicks. 40, 30, and is loose! Touchdown! Jordan Hicks with the second touchdown of his career has run the Minnesota Vikings to an 18-6 lead.
Those are your candidates for TD of the week, week six in the NFL. And we've got a really tight race between the top two candidates. I'm not going to tell you which ones they are, but I will tell you that was Paul Allen on Vikings radio, the Jordan Hicks game. Minnesota's second win because of a lot of what he did on the defensive side, including a scoop and score for a touchdown. Breece Hall with the go-ahead touchdown for the New York Jets as they take the Eagles out of the column of unbeatens. That's Bob Wischusen on Jets radio. Same division, the AFC East, the Miami Dolphins radio network with Tyreek Hill. He grabbed a cell phone, turned it on, started a video while he was backflipping following a 41-yard scamper for a score. And then Dan Miller on Lions radio. If you have not seen the block that Josh Reynolds used to spring his teammate Amon-Ra St. Brown, well, you got to check it out. You want to talk about teamwork, the definition, the very definition of teamwork. That was it. Actually, Jared Goff was out there trying to block as well. Just it's corporate synergy slash chemistry slash a component of a winning team. And right now, that's what the Lions are. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. You can vote for TD of the Week, and you can answer our question on this edition of the show. Craziest or funniest injury you can remember happening to a coach or an athlete, or maybe it's your own personal story about kicking something or punching something. Also on our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.